Good morning, Brother John. How are you, sir? I'm very excited, as you can tell.
Yeah, you have had more than one cup of coffee.
And you are on your second, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, I am. I'm on my second fig bar, too. But I won't chew on those while we're recording, I promise, producer.
Oh, you poor oppressed talent. You're the talent.
Well, I'm guided very closely.
Are you?
On a medium length leash.
Well, that's better than a short one.
Yeah, that's why I look at it. I'm trying to give the producer a little slack, or I'm trying to get myself more slack. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would figure it out.
Yeah, I think slack for yourself is probably good, too.
Yeah.
Can't be too tough on yourself. Well, where in the hell are you, my brother? I never know.
I am in beautiful St. Louis, actually in a suburb of St. Louis called Clayton, Missouri. We've recorded, I think, from here before. I'm visiting.
New hotel, though. New hotel.
Yeah.
And a sponsor. And a sponsor.
And a sponsor, yeah. I mean, this place has been treating me royally from the get-go. I stayed at Clayton Inn the last time. It was good.
Yeah.
This place is not excellent. I don't stay at excellent hotels. No,
I know
Ritz,
that about you.
No Four Seasons for me.
No.
I stay at very good hotels.
That's a very specific term. Very good.
Yeah, very good. Because usually you get 5-star hotels.
Yeah.
You got 4-star hotels and 3-star hotels. This hotel is a 4 and a little bit, maybe 4.1, which is my sweet spot.
That is your sweet spot.
Yeah. Place that'll give you value, but also has a little, you know, just a little frills to make it worthwhile, but isn't too foo-foo. And, you know, doesn't have like tea at 4 o'clock in the afternoon kind of BS. We don't need
okay.
that.
Not too precious, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
No snowflake stuff here.
Yeah, so I'm at the Clayton Plaza Hotel, located in downtown Clayton. And I'm thoroughly pleased with the experience.
All right, well, save it.
Save it. Yeah,
sponsor
read.
All right, okay, all right. So, yeah, as we all know, we need to have the shirt report. What shirt are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing the Technicolor tee number 2. But by the way, that's what I wore last week. But in between, I have washed it.
Whoa.
So in other words, I'm not wearing the same shirt for the whole week. I want that perfectly clear.
I think we both do that from time to time. Get a little...
Well, sometimes because we realize that we're a little bit older and sometimes memory challenged, I've been known to put the t-shirt on 2 days beforehand just to make sure I have it on. So that when I'm asked, I can say, oh yeah, I did good. 2 days ago, I put the shirt on.
Yeah.
It's still on.
Traveled down there with it, perhaps. Okay. Since you ask, I'm wearing my Clark Street Bro Show Live t-shirt, and it is red. I love this thing. And it was washed yesterday.
Ah.
I think that's an important addition. We need to say that. Now,
well,
kids,
wait. Yeah, I washed mine the day before that, so you win. Okay.
Oh, it's a competition. I forgot.
Oh, it's always competition. It's got to be competition, or what fun is it being brothers if we can't compete?
Gee, you know, I never looked at it that way.
That's the only way to look at it.
There must be something wrong with me.
No, it's just you got to keep the competitive edge. That's important. Oh. That's what keeps you going.
Is that what keeps me going?
Well, that's, I don't know.
Here, I thought it was love and acceptance and kindness.
Yeah, well, I got a nice mirror in this place. I ought to take a look at it and see what keeps me going.
Hopefully it's not full length.
Oh, shit. I just realized there's 2 mirrors in this place.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I'm all set.
All right, so where do you get a great t-shirt like the ones the Bro Show brothers are wearing? I think you get it at shirt.bro.show. And in case you're lazy and you don't want to type shirt, you can also type shit.bro.show. Isn't that cool?
But that's no reflection upon the product, because these t-shirts feel good.
Oh, they do. And we're pretty particular about choosing colors that have just a little bit of white thread woven into them. Mary Jane told me what this is called. And this is called Heather. Even if it's not green... I thought Heather was just like a gray-green, you know?
I thought it was a girl's name. I didn't know that. Go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, I'm learning. So she said, no, it's kind of a weaving that they do where they weave in just a little bit of white. So, for instance, I got this red, but this is not cardinal red, which is the other color they have. It's really a bright red like the St. Louis Cardinals, oddly enough. But if they weave just a little bit of white thread in it, it does two things. It detensifies the shade and at the same time makes it very soft.
Pretty good. I'm glad to hear that your wonderful wife is as pedantic as you are.
Well, she's as pedantic as you and I are, sometimes combined.
Yeah, I do believe so. I think that you it's rubbed off on you a little bit, in a positive way.
Well, yeah, because I suffer from the opposite thing you suffer from. I'm not detail-oriented enough. So, this morning I am, though. We've got a hell of an outline, right?
Yeah, I know a lot about a few things. You know a little bit plus that about everything.
Well, it would seem from your point of view, but
I will not
contest these remarks.
You won't because it's just a live it. You don't. Yeah, it's a compliment, and you live it. Yeah. So that's you don't have to.
I got to own it, don't I?
You own it and you deliver.
Okay, sir. Here's a good question for you. What is the weather like in St. Louis right now?
Well, it's 76 degrees. It's going to get up to 90, and you could cut the damn air with a knife. It's pretty humid.
Oh, it's that river humidity.
River humidity felt a little bit last night at the ballpark. I would say the first couple innings. It was, that just to give the weather report from there. I didn't sweat that much. I didn't sweat at all, I don't think. I don't know if that's just because.
New song. Or what. I didn't sweat at all last night.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it's going to be 90 today. And then the good news is when I go home tomorrow, it'll be a little bit cooler. So I'll have a good ride.
Well, let me tell you what's going on here and buckle up. 76 degrees, humidity 86%, which is unbelievably high for here. It's a little drier than that here usually. And high today, 98.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're flirting with 100 now. And it's I don't even know what month it is. Are we in June yet? No, we're not in June.
Yeah, we are. Yeah,
oh, God. June 2nd, we're in June 3rd. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate it when that happens. I hate it when that happens. Okay, so anyway. Yeah. So that's what's going on here weather-wise. And, man, I'll tell you, I'm not even going out today. I think I'm just going to – oh, I have to, though. I have to go get the groceries. Shit. Oh, well.
Yeah, well, coming to St. Louis, I come for a variety of reasons. It's always a little challenging. I call it family challenges.
Oh, really?
Family challenge. I don't know. It sounds like a daytime quiz show.
It does. It does. Family challenge.
Or maybe it could be a Judge Judy show just on family court.
Oh, God, we need a judge.
Yeah, here come the judge. Your pick. But family challenges have not gotten in the way. I think I'm going to be able to dodge that bullet. So
you're navigating the rough waters, are you?
Yeah. So far, I've made a couple of encounters and come out virtually unscathed.
Well, did you watch Stuart Smalley before you left?
I didn't watch it. I didn't feel the need. I felt that that's a pill I take when I'm a little more in critical condition in terms of how I feel and family wise.
Or if I'm down there in St. Louis the same time you are, I think that's the time to watch Stuart because you know it's going to get bad.
Yeah, you're right. But so far so good.
Yeah, but I'm not there, so everything's good.
Yeah.
So, what'd you do when you got to St. Louis, just out of curiosity?
Well, the thing is that the good news is that the hotel is right by Metrolink. So first thing I did is I went over, my brother's whole restaurant is about four blocks from here. So I ended up going over and shooting the shit with him for, maybe about half an hour, between 3 and 4.
Did you have anything to eat?
No, I didn't. And that was probably, I ended up eating as soon as I got downtown. He didn't offer me anything, so. But that's okay. It's like he offered me a beer, and I said, thanks, but no thanks. He says, you're on the wagon? I said, well, I'll drink one occasionally. He said, but then he gave me this editorial viewpoint. Well, that's very, very good that you're not drinking that much. I'm implying that I'm a booze hound, but that's okay.
Wow. Wow.
Anybody who drinks more than zero is an alcoholic in his,
Wow. That's kind of strict, isn't it?
No, but he's consistent.
Yeah.
He doesn't let anybody get by.
Yeah. I myself do not do that.
So
not my way.
So I got a Metrolink because I'll tell you, and I'm not trying to be cheap, but the you know
you're cheap,
cost
John.
I'm value oriented.
You're cheap.
Hey, look, Walter Tim is cheap.
You're right. Okay, I'm going to give you that one. Now that you bring Walter up in his hate of mascots,
yeah, Walter Tim,
which
I
resent that.
Yeah, here's the thing. I recall Walter got him some beer far the way down and Benny's Beverage Depot in Bloomington, and so I'm stacked with beer. I gave him a call, so I'm going to unload some beer on him on Sunday. But the thing is, he's a guy who's value-oriented, too. Mm. But the thing is that it's going to cost me $15-$20 to park downtown.
Wow.
You can get the Metrolink right here, air-conditioned, cost round-trip $5, $2.50 each way.
Wow.
And it drops you off right in front of the ballpark.
Well, you don't get any better than that. What's it? Oh,
yeah.
Is Ballpark Village a thing down there now, finally?
Well, they tried to do the Wrigleyville thing. They're trying to manufacture it, and they started by building this this large retail complex that includes a bunch of restaurants in it. But in addition to that, they broadcast live from the broadcast before the game there. So they do a pregame show there. And
they're trying to promote
it. Yeah. Well, this has been in existence for 2 years, and actually – some of the marketing people for the teams in Chicago consider it to be an incredible move by St. Louis. As much as Ballpark Village in total as a living experience might be getting off the ground rather slowly, the idea of using this complex to have a promotion of the team and also for other events, it could be used for weddings, other, you know, hockey, pre-hockey, pre-show hockey stuff. All that's available. So I went over there and had myself a bratwurst, and then the announcer or the guy that's doing the MC in the show starts asking questions to give out tokens for beer. So he asks a question, who's the furthest, you know, the typical stuff.
Yeah.
Then he says, does anybody have a ticket to yesterday's game? Well, I didn't, but I went up to him. I said, I got one better than that. I got one from the game before that when they played Milwaukee.
Ooh.
He took a look at the ticket, you know, kind of did his audit of it to make sure I was BSing him. And in addition to the fact, then I had to convince him I was a Cardinal fan. Well, that wasn't too difficult.
A little insulting.
Yeah, but he wanted to make sure that he wasn't giving a token to a Brewer fan. So
all right.
I mean, it makes sense. I respect it, particularly when he gave me the token.
Yeah, that makes up
so
for everything.
So I got a free beer out of it. And then I noticed everybody's going to the damn ballpark early. And I thought, what's the premium? What's going on? So I took a look, and it said Yadi Molina, their best player, catcher, tumbler. And I don't even know what a tumbler is.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a tumbler. You sent me a picture of it.
Yeah, it's a tumbler, which I guess is what you mix fancy drinks in.
No, really?
I don't know what else it could be.
It's a coffee thermos, I think.
Oh, that's what people were using for beer in the ballpark.
Well, it keeps it nice and cool because it's
that's the idea. It's supposed to keep things cool. So you're right. Maybe
and
that's
hot
the deal
too.
With it.
So I think you can go either way.
Yeah, I should have filled this whole thing with coffee this morning.
You can still do it.
The deal is that the deal is that I said, "What the hell? I'm not going to stand in a line like that for that." I really don't get too excited about it. I don't know what it is. So I ended up just sitting around, kind of looking around for, you know, keeping my ear close to the ground for a ticket.
Mm.
And these guys came up to me. And I waited for a long time. This is an exercise in patience. I'm cheap.
Okay.
If I can get
you
in the ball game,
said it.
If I can get in a ball game for, I think my price point's like $40-$50. I'm fine. So these two guys from Tulsa come up, and they say to me, they say, well, oh, we got a $190 seat here. I said, that's way out of my price line. Sorry, guys. And they said, what'd you give me for it? And I said, well, I'll give you $40. And they said, no, we need at least 80, twice
Ooh.
That. I said, thanks,
Ooh.
But no thanks, guys. Appreciate the considering me, but I'm afraid that's a little too high. So they kind of screwed around a little bit. And actually, I think they wanted to give me the ticket. But what they wanted me to do was to not give it to me like I was going to get a free ticket, but give it to me as if I offered to pay for it and then say, hey, it's on us, guy. Here's a ticket.
Really?
Yeah. So the bottom line is they came over about 10 minutes later and said, look, here, you can have the ticket. I said, well, how about the 40? They said, no, don't worry about the 40. You did.
Wow.
So then.
That's a skill.
I get in. And then they said, but this is a ticket like you've never had before. And sure enough, it was in the first row behind the pirate dugout.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's good in some ways. You can see the Cardinal dugout from there.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not about ready to say, you guys, you know, there's so many things wrong with the first row to start out with.
Oh?
It's too low.
Oh.
It is too low, but that's okay. That's a very minor thing. I mean, you can hear the players. You can, you know, so it's got a lot of elements. So these guys, I'm sitting with them in the first row with a bunch of other high rollers who really don't give rat's ass about the game. You know, they're ones who say, well, we'll be here for three innings, and then we'll go up to the stadium club where it's cool.
Oh, wow.
You know, those types. So, the thing is that, so as a result, and here I am going into the game with like just about 5 minutes left, and there's nobody in line because everybody's gone to get the tumbler, and I find out they're still giving away tumblers.
So you take a tumble.
So, take a tumble for the tumbler. And the thing is that I felt so good. I said, well, I'm sure glad I didn't get in that damn line.
Yeah.
To wait to get something I could get just strolling in. So I went to the ballpark, sat down. They were great guys from Tulsa. They knew their baseball. We just had a lot of fun together.
Wow.
And all good. So
wow.
The other thing is that I follow certain guys become my favorites. And the pitcher pitching for the Pittsburgh Pirates. By the way, let me give you the end result. The Cardinals lost 3-0. The pitcher that pitched the shutout for the Pirates is a cancer survivor.
Yeah.
So I have a special place in my heart for him. His name is Jameson Tyone. Doesn't even look near the way the spelling goes.
Mm.
Tyone.
Yeah.
I like to
that
say
double
that.
Double L thing.
It's scary stuff.
Mm. You did
for
a good
a pronouncer
job, though.
Like me.
You did a good job.
Testicular cancer. And
ooh.
What? And
both
the thing
are
is
one.
That.
Both are one.
Usually when it comes to finding out this information, I don't really go that deep.
Well,
into
if it was both, you would have known if it was both.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And it's unlikely he'd be pitching. He'd be pitching if both of them were missing.
I think he'd be a better balance if he got rid of both of them.
Wrong.
Oh, really?
Loss of balance is one of the side effects. And loss of muscles.
I should not even try to project what might be the result of this from losing both testicles when I have an expert I'm talking to. Well, not an expert, but somebody who's living proof of what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. And balance is a problem. But muscles is a bigger problem. Within a year,
here's
he would have zero muscles.
Here's the deal. The deal is that these guys usually lose one.
Yep.
And that's the way it
no
hangs.
Biggie.
And
you can get a prosthetic.
Yep.
If you need to see two, just pop one in there.
No, they're more concerned about showing off their whatever's.
Well, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
The deal was that this pitcher, who I happened to see pitch in a high school showcase game at Wrigley seven or eight years ago. The first guy I ever saw pitch in a high school showcase game was this fella named Tyone, Jameson Tyone. And then last year when I went to Indianapolis for my Universal Baseball Association trip, and I'm going the night that I'm going is I'm right off my chemo pump. Who do I see pitching his first game after surgery, his rehab start, is Jameson Tyone.
This guy's following you.
Yep. And last night, I saw his best game he's ever pitched in the majors.
Mm.
I was hoping he'd go nine innings. He went 8, 3 hits.
Oh, wow.
No runs, no walks.
Why didn't they let him go all the way? Was he starting to flag?
Well, the deal is that his pitch count was getting, you know, they're so hung up on pitch count. And once it gets over 100, he's a fairly young guy.
Yeah,
he's, I wouldn't call him a prospect, but he's a mid-20s maybe. Yeah, he's a mid-20s guy.
Gotcha.
So although the Cardinals lost 3-0, I felt good.
I got to see this guy. You got Mr. One Ball.
I got to see my guy. I mean, if you're going to lose, have it be number one, a lopsided, not, you know, like, don't make an edge game like it's 3-2 or 2-1. It was a 4-0 game, and have a guy that you really like, a cancer survivor, win.
Well, I think it's all good. I think it's all good. I think you did great, John, from beginning to end, man. You got down there without any hassle. You got your free ticket, which is amazing.
God.
You got the Ballpark Village experience, you know, and you sat behind the Pirate dugout. And can you see the inside of the Cardinal dugout from there?
You can, but I didn't really focus on that. Okay. I try to keep most of my viewing in the stands. I'll tell you, the first like 3 or 4 innings, with the humidity being kind of crunched a little bit, although there's plenty of leg room, obviously, on this, and was a little bit difficult. But once the ladies to the left of me, who told me that, watch out, we're party animals, as they're drinking beer out of their tumbler, they said, we'll be leaving a little while. Once they left, and it's no disrespect to them, they were incredibly good fans, although I had to explain a few things in the ball, and like what a review is, you know, like when they put those little headset on.
Yeah.
And
oh well.
But once I left and the weather got a little bit better, I chilled out with these guys. Like they were so funny. They told a story about the fact that they have a favorite thing they like to eat at the ballpark, and apparently it's a sandwich in which there's a bunch of peppers. So they the year before that had come. They always come one weekend, and they came on Gay Pride Parade weekend in St. Louis. So they went out to eat the next day. And the one guy was complaining his sandwich. He says, man, my asshole is burning so bad. And he must have said it too loud. And all of a sudden, half the guys in the damn restaurant, their ears perk up.
Yeah, Gay Pride?
Gay Pride. So very funny. One of them says to the guy, he says, are you here for the festivities?
Ooh, great line.
I thought that was, pretty good, huh?
Wow.
Oh, well. So
that's odd. Yeah. You know, I've never had that experience, and I eat incredibly spicy food. Yeah, you don't want to make a comment. Okay.
No, well,
you don't want to talk about shit? You're saving it for the shit show that we're going
to
do?
The shit show is where we can talk about what I call the burn, which is not anything to do with food.
Okay. All right.
It's more to do with my lack of a rectum.
Rectum. I like that. That's good. That's good. That's good.
So, yeah. So far, now there's an afternoon game. I don't know if I'm going or not. You know, I'll get the urge and probably end up going.
Yeah, I know you'll go. There's no doubt about that.
So, yeah, I'll make it there.
Yeah, well.
So far, so good.
Yeah, we've lost my sister-in-law by now. I'm sure she hates baseball.
God, I thought, didn't we get her back with that last story?
Well, we'll see. We'll see, because, you know, she writes a review. No, she writes a review of every show and a synopsis. Oh God.
Yeah, this is going to get a thumbs down. Let's move on. We gotta keep it moving. We gotta make a recovery.
Yeah, let's keep it real. We've got some follow-up items now. I'm gonna warn you not to get too pedantic, because I'm gonna ask you to talk about this business with the mascots. And is there a stalker alert on you yet?
Well, the problem is that a profile is beginning to develop.
I'll say
on me in terms of these mascots, and it's become a problem only because when you go to minor league games or you go to spring training. Mascots are a lot more accessible than they are when you get to the major league level. So going to a major league game and trying to get a picture with a mascot can be challenging. And I've tried to do it 2 times over the past week. And unfortunately, I'm getting a little too aggressive. I'm going up to customer service asking, can you give me the protocol, the thing that in terms of where the mascot is at certain points in time, so that I can get a picture with them, and they take a look at me, and
eyes. It's the eyes, man. I've seen that look. It's not
so
good.
The thing is that then I start walking around talking to security. That's a big mistake. Don't talk to security
ever.
If you want to.
Ever.
Yeah. And then I start getting really weird answers. They say, are you interested in a no? They say, you want a picture with the mascot? Well, right behind home plate, by the service area, there's a statue of Bernie the Brewer. You can get a picture with that. And I said, I'm looking. I need a body. I need a body bad. I don't need a statue.
That didn't sound good either, by the way.
Shit. Oh, God. Well, you can see. So as a result, what happened is that I did not get a picture of Fred Bird last night. I did not get a picture, and it was, I'll tell you, the temptation was very great. Here I am in the first row. Fred Bird's out there doing the opening.
Fred Bird is the
St. Louis Cardinal mascot. Everybody knows Fred Bird.
Nobody knows that.
He is the second most popular mascot in major leagues.
Yeah.
Second only to Philly Fanatic.
Well, by the way, we do have people who don't follow baseball at all who listen to the show.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is that you don't have to follow baseball to like mascots.
Well, I agree with that, but knowing their names, that's what I'm saying,
sorry.
Here, John.
You're right.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
That's okay.
Okay.
I still love
so
you.
So the thing was that I'm one row away from Fred Bird, and you can't imagine the temptation was for me to jump out there and get my picture, but I showed remarkable restraint.
I'll say.
I don't want to get myself in any trouble. So no photo ops from either Miller Park, which is in Milwaukee, and that's where the Brewers play, and that's where Bernie hangs, or in St. Louis last night, where Fred Bird, the mascot, hangs.
Yeah, but I've got to interject
here.
Well,
there's a little problem.
Yeah, there's a problem. You sent me a disturbing picture. You sent me a picture of Bernie, the Milwaukee Brewers mascot's bedroom, John.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's where basically my profile as a
stalker,
as a mascot stalker, was raised to another level.
The level, yeah.
A mascot predator.
Wow. This is so sad.
The problem here is that what I did was I basically created some evidence against me by taking pictures of Bernie's bedroom.
Not just his bedroom, his bed.
You know what?
He wasn't in it. I'll say that much.
His living quarters are rather close. They're a little tight. Mm. So what you see is about all that's in his wonderful little bedroom. That didn't come out right either. Sorry.
No, that didn't come out right either. You didn't say cute, at least. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the thing was,
mascot pride.
It's an exhibit, but nobody's going to believe it based upon the picture that I took.
Right.
And so I thought, now what am I going to do with this picture? And then I, after thinking a little bit, I think I sent it to you and realized I sent it to one too many people.
Why did you send it to Walter? That would have been perfect.
No.
No?
Walter would jump on it. I will show it to Walter Sunday.
But you won't give it to him.
On my phone. But I don't want him sending this to the police department.
God, you're getting paranoid now.
Well, yeah.
This is getting serious, I guess.
I'm learning about mascots, and I'm also learning there's a protocol when it comes to getting your picture with it. And one thing I've learned, and that is when you do run into a mascot and there's a line forming in order to get your picture with them, be careful because you're going to stick out when you're in a line with a bunch of kids.
Oh, that's right.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that's right. You are. You're the only adult, usually, I imagine.
Yeah, so I'll keep...
Really opaque sunglasses so they can't see those wild eyes you develop when you're stalking. I mean, going after a picture with a mascot.
It's a photo op. Come on, let's keep it at a decent level here.
Okay.
You're making me sound like some sort of criminal.
No, a predator, that's all. I think that's better, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it's better.
All right, now look, we've got an anchor topic today. We're going to talk some.
Do we?
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about Twitter. But
Twitter.
Sorry about
that. What's Twitter? Nobody knows what Twitter is.
Okay, so let's do our sponsor reads before we do it. What do you think about that?
Hey, I'll tell you, it's been so difficult for me to not talk about the wonderful accommodations I have here in Clayton.
You are now free to do so.
I am staying for the first time at the Clayton Plaza Hotel, which is located, it's right in the middle of St. Louis. So if you want to get to the ballpark, it's great. If you want to go to Forest Park, it's great. If you want to stretch west beyond, it's incredibly good. It's got the Metrolink right beside it. So it's got all that going. But I'll tell you, the main thing for me is this hotel. And by the way, just to let you know, when it comes to staying in hotels, I don't stay. I stay at very good hotels. I do not stay at excellent hotels. I don't like excellent hotels.
I know.
I don't want to stay at a Four Seasons. No. I don't want to stay at a doggone Ritz-Carlton. I could stay at Ritz-Carlton. It's right down the street.
No.
It's a little, I know. Now, this is... Now, you're going to say, well, you're cheap.
No, I'm not saying that at all. You stay in very good hotels, and they're not cheap. They cost money.
They're not cheap hotels. This hotel, I'm gonna lay it on the line.
Uh-oh, here comes the number. Here comes the number.
Here's the number. You ready? Are you seated?
I am.
$125 a night.
Wow.
Now, that's not expensive for a hotel, as far as I'm concerned, because I live in Chicago.
Well, that's true. That's true. That one down the street from you is pretty pricey. It's a couple hundred.
That's going to be close to $200.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Unless you get the neighborhood discount, which is going to get you down to maybe $180.
I was just going
to
say $180 because I think we've done that before.
Yeah. So
that's when I wasn't allowed in the condo. Yeah.
Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
I come up when I come up to the hotel. Do I have to worry about getting in a no parking zone? No, they've got nice little parking spots. 15 minutes only or, you know, for registration.
Mm-hmm.
Go right up, find out that the hotel's in and out $6 a day. It's connected. The hotel garage is connected directly to the hotel, so I can go right across and overhang, you know, overpass and go right into my hotel room.
Wow.
Room is good. It's, you know, it's a very, very good room. In addition to the fact that I get complimentary breakfast.
Oh,
and I haven't been down there for it yet.
Is that continental, or what, or is it hot?
It's you know what, I don't know yet.
Ooh,
but here's what really piqued my interest, and that is they gave me a ticket to go in, rather than and what happens is that if you didn't, it cost $11 if you didn't if you weren't a hotel guest.
Oh,
so it's got to be a reasonably good buffet.
Okay.
If they're going to charge $11 for it. So I don't think this is what you call your oatmeal rolls and a cup of coffee and orange juice.
That's bacon and scrambled eggs, buddy.
No. Yeah. This is a little bit better than that. So that'll be something I can check on. But the bottom line is that
this is a sponsor read, remember. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, okay. That's it. I mean, I really like this place. I recommend if somebody is in St. Louis, you can go downtown, stay at the Drury Inn, pay $200 a night, fine. Or you can stay here, go to the baseball game, and use MetroLink, which is a round trip, $5, and it's right down the street and drops you off right in front of the ballpark. And so,
Sounds good. That sounds really good, actually.
Yeah,
and Clayton is. I think, as a St. Louis, and I'm just going to say it, I think Clayton is the place to stay. If you're gonna be going around St. Louis, either to the burbs or to the city, it's kind of in between, and it's lovely. It's a city. It's real.
Yeah.
They conduct real business there, and the houses and stuff. Just
it's pedestrian friendly.
Very.
So you can walk around. There's a place called the First Watch, which is a breakfast place. I might try tomorrow for lunch if I don't use this one. My brother's restaurant's right down the street, so I can go and visit him.
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Oh, yeah, I guess I should mention that.
Yeah.
But here's
Free sponsor, Reed.
If I ended up, if the weather was a little bit better, I would just put my damn bicycle in my car, and I could be riding around Forest Park in a heartbeat.
You could be. Hopefully a heartbeat.
Well, after I get done. I'm sure I'd have the four, but maybe not afterwards.
True. Yeah, we know Forest Park pretty well as kids.
Okay, so bottom line, Clayton Plaza Hotel, I recommend it.
Okay.
And it's all good.
Okay.
So what do you got for us?
Second sponsor we have for this week's show. And, we could probably do a show where we just talk about the sponsors and say, okay, see you next week. But we should think about that. Anyway, Bulletproof Coffee. Bulletproof Coffee, you can find them at bulletproof.com. And the links and some info about these sponsors you'll find in the show notes. And Bulletproof Coffee is something that is a little different. It's two things. There are actually coffee beans called Bulletproof Coffee Beans. And these are beans that have no microbial or fungal bullshit on them. And you would be surprised how difficult it is to get coffee like that. And I know because my wife is extremely sensitive to that kind of bullshit on coffee beans. And this is one of the only coffees she can drink without getting the jitters and an and an irregular heartbeat. So if you have the dough, it is worth it if you are sensitive to coffee, because this is the purest tasting. I'd say it's very good tasting, John. It's not like Intelligentsia, but it's close.
Okay.
But
okay.
The main thing is that when they get this coffee, they don't ship it in burlap bags and throw it into the hold of a big ship and let it get fungal. Instead, they have special containers, and it gets shipped on, not at the bottom of the ship, but in the higher berths, and it gets sent. This whole thing is from an approved coffee farms. They have a collective. They do fair trade. Everybody gets treated right. And you can get it at bulletproofcoffee.com. But more importantly, Bulletproof Coffee is also a type of brewing method.
Oh,
If you take any kind of coffee and you add butter and MCT oil to it, 2 tablespoons of each, and hit the hand blender with it, you will be very surprised. Because that, my friend, is a breakfast. And it's very, very good. It passes the brain-blood barrier. It allows your brain to work much better. And it gives it superior, nutritionally dense elements like ketones and such things. So if you want to think clear in the morning and, you know, you even got a tight schedule, I recommend Bulletproof Coffee. I've had it for years, about 8 years. And have it every morning, and I love it. So that's it. Bulletproof Coffee.
So how do you get bulletproof.com? Have to ask some questions.
Yeah. Question number one.
Question number one. So you sent away for this coffee?
Yes, we have.
Okay, you have. So that's how you. That is your method of purchase.
It's online. You purchase it online. Okay. Now there is a Bulletproof Coffee Cafe now.
Where?
In Los Angeles.
Ooh. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's the real deal, and they have some incredible brewers there. I mean, they do a real job on that coffee. They use agitation. You know what agitation is? It's when you add water, and then you push bubbles up through the bottom so that the grounds are agitated within the hot water, and it evens out and rounds the taste. Add more water, more bubbles. Pour it out, and you've got yourself an unbelievable cup of coffee. So these guys really have their shit together. Dave Asprey, who brought Bulletproof Coffee to the United States after he went to Tibet and noticed that the Sherpas all drank tea with yak butter in it, and that they had incredible stamina and endurance. And he tried it, and he said, whoa, this is incredible. The yak butter tastes like shit, by the way. But the effects of drinking it are pretty enormous.
So, in other words, you could climb the Himalayas after drinking this coffee?
Well, you might have to. It's pretty good. Oh. It's pretty good. No, there's no jitters or no strong reaction to it. It's pretty mellow. But your brain just works.
It's called agitation, is this process?
Yeah, agitation process. They use that at the cafe.
And I thought agitation was doing a podcast with you. Oh, well, that's...
Oh, well, you know, I think there's some truth in what you say. I don't feel that way about you, by the way.
Oh, come on.
Not yet. Oh, well. Not yet. Show's still young.
That's what I thought, agitation. That's what I thought.
That's the first thought that came to your mind?
Yeah.
Well, that's really sad. Okay, those are sponsors. We did our follow-up. And okay, let's talk a little about Twitter. This is a big subject. Whether it's a big topic and anyone gives a shit, we'll see. But the big thing about Twitter is it can make you or it can break you. And Trump uses it quite effectively, and I would say it's made him, not entirely, but to an extent, got him elected. And he can talk right to his base, you know, 50 million people. And some of those guys hang on every tweet he tweets, and they don't think anything's crazy at all. They think it's all the gospel. And
does
then
this guy
on the
sleep?
Other hand,
when does he do these tweets?
24/7 seems.
Yeah, I don't think he gets any sleep. But
not
that's
much.
Another problem.
Not much. That's a separate issue. Now, contrast his success with Twitter to our friend Roseanne Barr. Now,
Roseanne Barr.
Now, Roseanne Barr, the comedian who did a relaunch of her old show, great success, number one show on ABC, and she sent out one tweet, and within 24 hours, she not only lost her show, but all the reruns for the old show were taken off the air also.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh, one tweet. Roseanne lowers the bar.
One tweet. Hmm. Oh, I like that. That's good. New name. Roseanne, quote, lowers the, quote, bar. Ooh, John. Rare form. So, how does this work? How did this happen? What in the hell is going on? And, John, we talked about this week, and you had a serious problem with Roseanne's tweet. You want to walk us through it?
Well, the problem is that, you know, I understand that abbreviation is an important part of this because there's a limited number of characters you can use. But when I took a look at it, and the implication was that two people mate and the result is Valerie Jarrett, I couldn't see people.
So wait.
Muslim
what is,
Brotherhood.
What is their tweet? Help the folks. Someone's
Muslim
living under a
Brotherhood
rock.
Plus Planet of the Apes equals VJ.
So VJ is not vagina. That's something else.
No, I thought it was going to be VD, but that was I thought you did
bad.
A misspelling.
A lot of people don't even know what VD is anymore. That's our era, I think.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? It's an STD now. STD. That's STD now.
Yeah, it's STD. I mean, I'm from the old Vietnam era.
Yeah, it was VD.
Popular.
It was definitely VD.
So the thing is that when I look at it, I'm a very, very, when it comes to wording, I'm like anal with respect to the words have to be correct. And Muslim Brotherhood is not a person. It's a group of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't feel that this was group sex that she's talking about.
Okay.
And then Planet
of
the Apes.
That's a whole planet? A whole planet?
Well, the thing is that either that can be a planet, that can be like a body, like a Earth, or it could be a movie called Planet of the Apes. In either case, it isn't a person. So all of a sudden, she's got two non-person types.
Equaling a person. Who is?
Valerie Jarrett, who was the senior advisor to Barack Obama.
From
who's
Chicago.
Black, and she's from Chicago. And she's the one who basically introduced Barack to all the heavy hitters in Chicago and got his political career well on its way.
Wow.
He was stagnated in Springfield.
Yeah.
And his wife says, you've got to do better than this or no more politics for you.
Wow.
If our political career is going to be residing in Springfield for any length of time, we got to get out of here.
We got to get out of
this place. Yeah.
Okay, so I see where you're going with this. So, in other words, did you ever get past that? I think that was such a stumbling block for you that you really never thought about the issue.
Well, the issue, I don't know the issue. That's it, you're right. I don't know the issue.
Because that is the issue for you. The fact
enlighten me. Because the issue is that this Roseanne Barr doesn't even have to, if she's going to get in trouble, at least say something that's clear. And believe me, I am not the only person out there. I've read some of the comments where there's been a little head scratching as to exactly where is this, you know, what does it, people can kind of connect the dots and figure it out. But why do we have to connect dots? This is something.
I can tell you why.
Why?
Because the way racists like to operate in America is not to be explicit.
Oh, innuendo, inference.
Yes, now you're getting it. So she was trying to stay under the PC radar, but she failed miserably.
Oh.
Because she was saying that Valerie Jarrett had simian features, is what she's trying to say.
Really?
Which is like saying you look like an ape.
But you realize that the apes in that movie were the superior intelligent body. They were the people.
Well, you know, I don't think that means a lot to black people who don't like being compared to monkeys or primates even.
I don't know.
I'll tell you one thing. You know, whatever race you are, you think all the other races look goofy because your race is you. And so that's
right.
Your normal, right? And so it doesn't matter, you know. And I think we look a little goofy. You know, we look more like bulldogs than humans. And that's why we all like bulldogs so much, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we have receding chins, big noses. You know, we have to cock our heads in order to the one side or the other in order to kiss another person. And so I think these are all inhibiting to the normal process of things. But
what is normal in appearance?
I don't know. It should at least be easy to kiss people.
I don't know. That seems like
I guess my priorities are a little jumbled there, huh?
Your criteria is I don't know. It's fine. You're desperately coming up with something because I don't think there is a criteria.
Okay. All right.
I mean, if you talk about appearance without taking race out.
It's all relative. It's all completely relative.
That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. It's all relative.
Yeah.
That's getting.
Yeah.
Don't talk relative, please.
No. Or about our relatives. Agreed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would be smart. Okay. So here we go. That's our framing of this thing. Now, you know, one begins to wonder this enormous power that this tool, Twitter, yields. And I got to thinking about it, and without getting too pedantic, I thought, you know, Twitter. Mm. I've been on Twitter since the first days of Twitter, and I'm a longtime user. You know, I've got 10,000 plus tweets and, you know, a couple thousand followers, and I follow, you know, a couple thousand people. And I got to thinking about it. Here's the weird thing about Twitter. It has weird management, and the service itself is really not any different than when it ran on F. Williams' laptop, which it did in the first days.
F. Williams.
So, Ev. E.V.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm
Evan
sorry.
Williams.
I didn't.
Yeah, Ev. He's a big man. So, I mean, it's kind of weird, John. I mean, this thing that now presidents use to stay in office and maintain their base and what have you, and the politicians use, baseball players use, LeBron James use, you know, everybody. And you know what? It was just the brainstorm of this kid who went to Rolla, the engineering school in Missouri, down in central Missouri, not far from us, and our nephew went there, Jason. And so, you know, he went to Rolla after 2 years, transferred to New York University, and spent about almost a year there and dropped out.
A double dropout. And that's a good credential for this.
Double D. I think it is. He didn't drop out. He transferred.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
So only one dropout.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Single DT. Yeah. Transfer dropout. So this transfer dropout had the idea at the time. He was kind of, he's a weird kind of guy, kind of a daydreamer.
What's this guy's name?
He was fascinated. Oh, Jack Dorsey. I'm sorry. I should have said that. Jack Dorsey from St. Louis,
yeah,
by the way. That's why we're talking about him. Yeah. Went to Bishop DeBerg High School. Nice,
yeah.
Catholic boy. So now he's out in New York, and he gets fascinated by listening in. He's a bit of a hacker. He got the radio equipment to listen in to cab drivers talking to their dispatchers. And they have a particular kind of language, just like all those kinds of people do. And he noticed they're trying to keep these messages short, so that everyone can give the information to the dispatcher and the dispatcher can give the information to the cab drivers. And they're all listening all the time, and they have to do it in a way that it works. And he got to thinking, what if we consumed information and news and everything this way? What if it was all piecemeal? So, you know, he was ADHD ahead of his time. And so he came up with the idea of these short messages. And at first, you know, his thought was to use the text messaging on phones to do it, since it was just becoming popular back then. So he had this idea cooked up in his brain, and he dropped out, and he went to the West Coast and thought, well, you know, I need a job. And so he got a job at this place called Odeon. And Odeon was going to be a huge podcasting platform. And it was funded by Ev Williams and Biz Stone, who were the guys who sold Blogger to Google. So they had a lot of money, and they were working at Google at the time. And they quit Google, started this enterprise. Odeon was all ready to go, and then Apple came out with its podcasting platform, and it blew their opportunity away. And they said, we got to pivot. Anyone got any ideas? Jack Dorsey is a low-level employee. He said, I got an idea. He pitched it. Eventually, Noah Glass, the founder of Odeon, you know, this company that Biz Stone and Ev Williams got involved in to save, said, I love this idea. And he was a champion for it. And then in the end, he kind of got pushed out, and Jack Dorsey ascended, became CEO, and we have Twitter, and then he got fired and rehired, and a bunch of drama But the point is that this thing is a very simple idea, and I really don't think it's changed at all, except they doubled the character length from 140 to 255, I think, or something. So, you know, it's changed a little bit, but it's basically the same idea, but they have spent billions upon billions of dollars, become a public company. And you know what I think, John?
What do you think?
I think this damn thing should have been a utility. I don't think it should be a company.
Okay.
You know, they could have gotten a half a dozen tech companies to say, we're going to fund the fucking thing, put a little money into it so it stays what it really is supposed to be, and it can be like a neutral pipeline for people to communicate with each other. I think it would have been a great idea, and I don't know why they spend so much money doing so little.
Okay, so that's a couple things. Number one, I think that I might be a more typical Twitter type.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
Because you see,
I'm the
eavesdropper. I'm the snooper. I don't care.
They're called lurkers. They're called lurkers.
I'm the person consumers. Who basically sneaks a look at Twitter, at the Twitter, because I can look at any baseball player's Twitter by going to the baseball encyclopedia called Baseball Reference, hit the link and find out what their Twitter is. I look at their tweets because I want to find out what they're up to, where if a person's retired, maybe there'll be something about their new biz. So that's what I do. So I am a user, abuser. I don't know what you want to call it. I am not what you call...
You're a consumer.
I'm
you're
a consumer.
Consumer
of
most people yes. are.
So the other thing is that I appreciate all the business background that you provided, but I like the
drama.
The business drama.
There's more drama, by
yeah,
the way.
We'll hold it. Yeah,
I'll
before I fall asleep.
I'm holding it.
And I'm drinking coffee. But I tell you, the last thing you said I think is worth commenting on, and that is this idea of utility and where it's going. Because of the latest thing that you mentioned we might talk about, and that is they're trying to control the what they call third-party individuals here. And guess what?
They've already done
it. Yeah, but the thing is that I decided, you know what? This sounds like this might be something that the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, might want to look into.
Why so?
Well, let me just...
Restraint of trade? Restraint of
trade. Yes, restraint of trade. And guess what I found out?
Ah.
In 2011, the FTC did look and investigate Twitter. So they're on the watch list.
Oh, it's like a stalker list.
Yeah. You know, the FTC looks for...
Like a mascot.
The FTC looks for monopolies. These guys like me look for mascots. That's the difference.
Okay.
All
right. Not much difference.
Not a lot. So after I read about what they're trying to do with these third-party users and corral them, and basically they've tried it.
Third-party developers.
They are, you know, the thing is that they're looking to find a means. Now, what they have done in the past, and I think the overt thing that they did back maybe in 2011 when the FTC took a look at it, was they were trying to buy up these companies, these third-party developers.
Yes, they were, and they bought several
of them. And this is a much more insidious way of controlling them, and that is just kind of squeeze them a little bit. Put them in a corral.
Yep.
Cage them.
Yep. Well, these are entrepreneurs. You can't do that, right?
Well, I would...
You can try, but it doesn't work.
I don't know. Like I said before, I think they might be getting themselves in trouble. And, of course, what happens when we have a large industry in which we feel and the government starts looking at it and they want to regulate it, and all of a sudden it becomes severely regulated like a utility. In other words, exactly where you ended up.
I think it would be better as a utility, and I think the API should be opened up. The API is the controversy, is that there was a RESTful API, which is a way of interacting with a program. Application programmer interface. So in other words, Twitter is a service. If you have access to the API, then you can write an application that looks a lot better than fucking Twitter and works a lot better, and you use the API to get to the data and to summarize tweets, you know? And there are – look, Twitter, the real original Twitter and the Twitter that most people use is shit compared to the ones that the third-party developers made that actually made Twitter successful. And so once Twitter got successful, they nuked their API and said, you can't use this. And And then, so overnight, all these little businesses went out of business because they lost their API. Then they come back and say, oh, well, we'll give you tokens so you can have so many users, just like you're talking about, throttling. And it's terrible, terrible idea. And boy, there have been two or three attempts to replace Twitter with something that's fair and open, and it always fails.
Well,
Twitter is here, and this is all we got. No one's ever going to overcome it. And as long as the current business climate keeps going and Jack Dorsey and his board of directors keep directing, we're going to have the stupid Twitter that we have now that's just got a bunch of stuff nobody uses. And basically, they want to use the Twitter that was developed 15 years ago.
Where does Trump, do you think, stand in terms of all this commotion you've discussed about Twitter?
Oh, he's unaware of it.
He's
clueless?
He
doesn't even know how the Constitution works.
The president
works.
Is clueless?
He doesn't even know
the...
I know, golly. Yeah, he is clueless. Oh. He doesn't know, doesn't care. He just knows, how many characters can I type in this thing? As long as I say sad at the end of it, everyone will love me.
Well,
and he
I
tweets.
Think
he's pretty good.
Good
he's good at it. Oh, he's very good at it. I will freely admit that he knows how to write a tweet. He was born to tweet. Mm. Hey, that sounds like a good tattoo, right? Should we get him to get a tattoo when he comes to wherever we are? Next time in Chicago, let's see if we can get him over and get him tattooed. Born to Twitter. Born to tweet.
Born to tweet.
Born to tweet.
Yeah.
And the nice, and the Twitter logo there, that bird. Oh, that would look good. Mmm. Yeah. Well, in any case, that's Twitter. It's got a checkered past. It's got a checkered future. They're pretty lousy at making money. They're always compared to Facebook, and they're nothing alike. I don't know why they do that. But in any case, they do sell some advertising, and they can target your advertising and do all kinds of wonderful stuff. But you know what? I just don't care.
Mm.
I don't care. I don't use it as much as I did 3 years ago. I can tell you that.
Well, like I said before, I'm the kind of guy who, if I'm at Wrigley Field, I'm not even in the ballpark, it's raining, I want to find out when the game's going to start. I go to a Twitter feed and find out what the press is saying about when they're going to take the tarp off the field.
It is good for something that's happening right now. And that's how they became prominent, the San Francisco earthquake. Mm. They're one of the few places you could get updates.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, the idea is great.
San Francisco earthquake, 1906.
I just think the information, no, not that one. There
was another
one?
Yeah,
in 2010 or 11 or something.
Oh, I remember the one in 1989, the quake series. I'm too old to remember.
Yeah.
I'm too old to remember current quakes. I only know the old quakes.
Mm. They have a lot of them,
yeah,
obviously.
But the 1906 is, that's newsworthy.
Yeah, I think it is. And then the one they had that, the other one you mentioned, I think is in the
1989, because it was the World Series was with the Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants. And it's newsworthy for me because it delayed the World Series.
I'm sure. It was important to me because I was supposed to be in San Francisco. And it just so happened, as soon as they finished their meeting with Macromedia downtown, they got into their car and a building fell on them.
Ooh.
I was supposed to be in the car. I don't know.
It's pretty newsworthy.
Luck.
That's good. I like it.
Yeah.
Personal experience.
You know, there are very few people, very few people killed in that quake. But John, who was a brilliant guy and a real loss to the tech community, he was a wonderful fellow. He's one of my writers on Mac Week, the electronic news outlet. So anyways, yeah, that was sad, and it did happen, and they have a lot of stuff like that. But because of Twitter, later when the next quakes came and stuff like that, people go on Twitter to see what the hell was happening because they couldn't get good up-to-date information anyway. And it was all, what would you call it, volunteer journalism?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is, you know. And it's people who make the news sometimes giving the news. And it's people observing the news, giving the news. And they're not professionals very often, but they're getting more so.
Pretty good.
There are a lot of, yeah. So Twitter, love it, hate it. It killed Roseanne.
Okay.
It has made and continues to make Trump use with caution.
I like that, use with caution. That's very good.
Yeah, and get yourself a Born to Tweet tattoo, Mr. Trump. Oh, President Trump, sorry.
That's so easy. It's hard, yeah.
Disrespectful there.
Putting President Trump.
John, you got to help me out here. We talked this week about cheeseburger controversy.
Yeah, I didn't really follow up that much on it. I apologize. All I could tell you is that there is and I wish I knew a little bit more the basis upon this, but there's a couple of guys in Florida who are suing McDonald's because they use the word cheeseburger to describe their generic burger, when they think what they ought to do is they ought to be saying hamburger and cheeseburger is two different things, because they don't like cheese and they would like to be able to come up to McDonald's. And I guess it's false.
Hey, I have this problem every time I go to eat there. I struggle to get something without cheese on it. It's almost impossible.
You know what? I think you have a bigger problem.
What?
You go to McDonald's to eat.
When you're in the airport and you're really hungry, I think it's a perfectly acceptable place to go.
I don't go to McDonald's because usually when I'm at the airport, the longest line is at McDonald's, and I want to just get something quick to eat, and I can find something comparable to McDonald's some other place. And it's probably
I don't have that problem.
You don't have problem
now when I'm
waiting.
In Chicago.
I do.
No, I don't have long. I never experienced a long line in going to one of those things because the lines move fast. Number one, number two, depends on where you are. In Chicago, I never eat at McDonald's. I always get an excellent sausage someplace.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they have the best. Like, you guys have the best sausages at O'Hare.
O'Hare.
Definitely. Thumbs up. Even Midway. Yeah.
Well, part of the problem. Yeah,
Midway doesn't have a Starbucks.
The problem is that there were a lot of politically connected restaurants in there, and they're trying to clean up their act a little bit and get some better ones. So we'll see what happens.
Well, here's the weird thing, though. $5 million because they mislabel their food. And now have they suffered anything other than some psychological or possibly emotional distress over this?
I don't know.
Or have they gone into lactose tolerance shock or something?
I'm sorry.
I don't know. It's I've got the article right
good
in front
for
of
you.
Here, so I'm looking over it, and it's groundless.
Yeah.
Kind of like their patties.
Meatless.
Meatless, yeah. Yeah, better said. Quarter pounder with cheese. I mean, why don't they just say that? And why can't we get a quarter pounder without cheese? Without having to go back three times.
You know, the problem is...
I mean, I have given it back. I've given it back. I'm going, this has cheese. I said no cheese.
Yeah, because they're prefab food.
Totally.
So as a result, they prefabbed the Big Mac. They prefabbed the quarter pounder.
But if you go when they're doing a lot of business, it's all fresh, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you go at 3 in the afternoon, not so much. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, pretty bad.
Yeah. Our brother worked at McDonald's.
Yeah, and look what he's done. He's elevated up. It's his restaurant biz background. Has got him up.
Yeah.
He went to work for Morton's for a while, and now he's working for Ruth's Chris. So
that's right.
It's a road
all
to
good.
Success, and he's living proof.
It is. And you and I were among the first customers of McDonald's.
In addition to the fact, there's another benefit of my wonderful brother, our brother, working at McDonald's. He got
What's
sick
that?
And tired of eating McDonald's, and he won't even look at one now.
Wow.
So in other words,
isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So in other words, you work there long enough, you end up building up a resistance to them. You don't want to eat them.
Oh, I can see that. That makes sense.
So that's all good.
All right. Well, hey, we're at the hour mark.
Hey.
We've done good.
Yep. We survived. You know, Mr.
Usual.
Producer, I turned off the...
Yes, sir.
I turned off the air conditioning in my room because I didn't want it to make noise. So I'm right now, I'm in a sauna. I just want to let everybody know that I suffered a lot during the podcast.
Man, I can't believe you. You are really something. Plus, you underwent media deprivation. Because if anyone has ever spent any time with John at all, they know he likes to do three things at once. He usually eats, is on his phone, is watching television, and listening to the radio at the same time.
Hey, do you want
a
movie review?
I do.
Dinner at 8, 1933. Incredibly good movie. I just got done seeing John Barrymore, Lionel Barrymore, Gene Harlow, Wallace Beery, all the heavyweights in the day. And very, very good movie. So that's it.
Dinner at eight. Boy, I'm hungry. That
yeah.
sounds good to me. Are they having quarter pounders?
No, they're not having quarter pounders. Oh, Billy Burke's in it too. You know who she is?
Really?
She's
Yeah.
She plays Lionel Barrymore. She's the one who's hosting the dinner.
Oh, the Barrymore dynasty.
Yes, yes. Oh.
Continues to this day.
Yeah. And John Barrymore plays in character. He plays an alcoholic actor.
Well, that's completely in character.
And it does a great job. Okay, so that's my
movie
review.
Buddy.
And so I did do a little multitasking. Sorry about that, producer. So
that's okay. I still love you.
So, hey, look, I think we are done. I got a ball game in front of me and might squeeze a little family visit in there, too.
All right.
Okay. Have a good day.
See you later. Bye.